Mark 8, verse 34. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Strong words. Let's begin by looking at deny. Deny himself. This phrase literally means to completely disown, to utterly separate oneself from someone. It's the same word used to describe Peter's denial of Jesus outside of the high priest's home in Matthew 26:34, when Christ had said, "Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." You will deny me. Denying self is not the same thing as self-denial. Some people practice self-denial by withholding certain things from themselves, like some Catholics do during Lent. "I'm not going to eat chocolate. I'm not going to drink alcohol for these 40 days. I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z." This is not what Jesus Christ is talking about in self-denial. Denying self is far more intense than that. Denying self implies that I stop listening to my own voice. I stop leaning on my own power. I stop trying to fulfill my own will and wishes. I take literally what I pray in the Lord's Prayer. When we pray of our will not being done, but His will being done. When I truly deny myself, I have no will but His will. I have no plans but His plans. I have no wants but what He wants for me. When I deny myself, I give up all my rights and I relinquish all control of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I live out practically what 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 is talking about. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This body doesn't belong to us any longer. This body doesn't belong to us any longer. It's bought by God. That is a concept that is foreign in our day. Most religions and most people, most popular ministries are focused on catering to the self. They want people to feel good about themselves. They want to build up people's self-esteem. They want mankind to rejoice in his achievements and in his abilities. Jesus, on the other hand, wants mankind to know that within him, they are nothing and can do nothing. Jesus is calling those who claim him as their Savior to make a total commitment to his Lordship in their lives. He wants absolute control in every area of our lives. This kind of talk is not pleasing to the ear. This is not pleasing to men and women that want their wills in control of things, who want to live, quote unquote, their lives. But is it the truth? He calls on us to disown ourselves and give him the reins of our lives. We're to deny ourselves. And we're to forget about ourselves, what we want. Look at the words. First, deny yourself. Now it becomes even more intense. Whoever desires to come after me, we saw that last time, let him deny himself. Okay? Let him deny himself. All right, that's intense. But, and take up his cross. Take up his cross. This phrase had much meaning for the people in Jesus' day. To us, not so much so. Historians estimate that over 30,000 people were crucified by the Romans during the life of Jesus Christ. Thus, every person who heard Jesus say these words, they knew what he was saying to them. There may even have been people hanging on crosses in the background as he's saying these words. every person would have understood what Christ was talking about. In that day, remember this. Always when you read the Bible, you have to put yourself in the context of the day. Remember this. In that day, a cross was not a piece of jewelry. It wasn't a piece of jewelry or a decoration on a church building. It wasn't, hey, look at that nice gold crucifix that person has on. Or look at that cross on that building. Isn't that glorious? A cross was an instrument of shame, of humiliation, of suffering, torture, and death. When a man took up his cross, he was beginning a death march. This text, when it says take up his cross, this is not talking about, you see some people give quote-unquote altar calls, salvation calls. Dim down the lights, knowing that the lights are off, no one's going to see you slip up your hand, make a commitment in your heart today, put your hand on the TV screen, all this kind of stuff. This is radical salvation, radical commitment to Jesus Christ. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Take up this instrument of death, of shame, of humiliation, of torturing, of suffering, and of death. You got to admit, this isn't exactly your best life now. Your best life is after this life, my friend. You've been deceived if you think your best life is now. It's you getting what you really want. The desires of your heart is to follow yourself. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. It says to deny yourself and to take up your cross. This is not a popular message. Some may even turn it off at this point. But is it the truth? Are you going to keep running from the truth? A true disciple of Jesus Christ, if whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Take up his cross. There's no going back. When Jesus Christ called these people to take up their cross, they knew exactly what he was talking about. And that message, my friend, has been clouded in our day. Some people think that the burdens of life are a cross that they must bear. Some people say that a lost, abusive spouse, a wayward child, a crazy boss is their cross. Some people think that an illness or a physical handicap is their cross. The trials and hardships you face in this life is not your cross. They are not your cross, the trials and hardships. When Jesus tells his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, he's calling them to count it as true that they are dead to themselves. He's calling them to live a lifestyle of faith, a lifestyle of calling things true that are true, living it out. He's calling them to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Notice, have been done in the past. Now by faith, claim this to be true. See, we claim everything else to be true about riches and God supplying all my needs and all my creeds and all of this kind of stuff. Why don't you count this as true? I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. That old person, like with me, that old Bill Potts, that guy is dead. And every time he raises his head back up and he wants his will done, I have to, by faith, count it as true that that dude is dead, that I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Christ living in you, but as I said in the beginning of that verse, I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer my agenda. It's Christ's agenda. He's calling us to willingly bear the shame, take the reproach, the humiliation, the suffering, the hatred, the alienation, and maybe, yes, even death. that may come to those who are associated with him. That's what it means to be a true disciple of Christ. We take up our cross when we choose the narrow way over the way of the world, regardless of the cost. We take up our cross when we live our biblical ethics in our personal lives and in our business relationships, regardless of the cost. We take up our cross when we're willing to suffer any attack for Jesus Christ. Not many people are truly carrying their cross today. Many are quick to compromise when it makes their way just a little easier. Businessmen will lie to keep their customers. Christians will lie to save face. Church folk will compromise with the world to avoid being singled out and humiliated for being a believer. To take up your cross means that you are willing to identify yourself with Jesus Christ, with his death, with his word, regardless of what it costs you personally, publicly, or financially. That's not a side of Christianity that you hear about very often. It isn't popular to talk about sacrifice, death, and suffering. I guarantee you, if I name this message Sacrifice, Death, and Suffering, not too many people will be tuning in to listen. Sacrifice, death, suffering. But that is what Christianity is all about. That's what the text is teaching you. Come after me, deny yourself, and take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. People love free will. They trumpet free will all the time. But I got free will. How do you, if you're a Christian, how do you have free will? Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. That doesn't exactly sound like free will to me. Maybe you got free will to put on what pants you want today. But you certainly don't have free will in denying yourself and taking up your cross and following you. Following him. He's commanding you to do that. That's not free will. That's you obey. You obey. You count it as true. He's telling you these things are true. When I just showed you in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm going to be. You have been. So now by faith, you count that to be true moment by moment. Many people are being deceived today. But are they really being deceived, or are they just really getting what their heart's desire is? You know, the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll grant you the desires of your heart. Now, is it your desire to follow him, to deny yourself, to take up your cross, to come after him? As you delight in the Lord, he'll grant you those things. Let's look at follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. The true disciple of Jesus Christ turns his back on himself and his whole life. The true disciple of Jesus takes up his cross and he's willing to lay down everything for the glory of God. That's the reason you were created. That you would glorify God. And the scripture says you're going to glorify God one way or the other. In his mercy and in his grace, or in his anger and his wrath. But you're going to glorify him. God is going to be glorified. Turning back, you're turning your, on your back, you turn, Jesus wants us to turn on ourselves, our own life, turning around and walking the other way. We're to walk in total obedience and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we do it perfectly all the time? No. But that is the goal. That's the plumb line. Following him, denying him, taking up your cross. Follow me. That phrase suggests an ongoing action. It's a continual action. Jesus is calling his people to be constant followers. Some people follow on Sunday, and they take a different path on Monday. Some people follow the Lord when they need help. Some take another path when things get better. That's not what the Lord is looking for. Christ is calling for his people to make a radical commitment to follow him all the time, all the way to the end of their lives. You're to be identified with Christ with your whole life. not sometimes, Sundays, Wednesdays, Saturdays. 24/7. That's what you call it. There's no cheap seats in Christianity. It costs to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 7, 21 to 27. Now, Christians today, they have trouble examining themselves. I would ask you to examine yourself in light of Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Remember the old adage that a true friend confronts you with the hardest truths. I'm not bringing these verses to you because I'm not your friend. I'm bringing them to you because I am your friend and I love you. And I would ask you to seriously consider Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Notice, he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Not your will. This is not your will. This is his will. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. These are not atheists. They're not saying, Lord, Lord. This is not Muslims. This is not any other group of religious people. These are people speaking to Christ. Lord, Lord, have we not noticed? Prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. So just remember that also. People can prophesy in the Lord's name. People can even cast out demons in the Lord's name. And people have done many wonders in his name. So don't be deceived because somebody is prophesying, somebody's casting out demons, or somebody's doing many wonders. And remember, these are the words of Jesus Christ himself. So if these words seem harsh, your problem is with Christ and not with me. I'm just reading the scripture to you. Verse 23 of Matthew 7. These are terrifying words. Seriously consider these words. And then I will declare to them. To who? The ones that was just speaking. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those, I got to tell you, those words absolutely terrify me. I have to seriously consider those words. I can't say, well, you know, I'm a pastor. I'm saved for 35 years. I've been walking with the Lord. I do this. I do that. I can't be saying, hey, I prophesy in your name, cast out demons, and do many wonders. I can't be saying that. I can't be bringing forth my works. And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It doesn't say that you don't sin. It doesn't say that you don't break the law. It says you practice it. That's your lifestyle. Can we honestly say that we're totally committed to Jesus Christ when other things in life come before him? And realize this, when I'm saying totally, it's not perfectly. But that's your desire. That's what you want. Can we honestly say that we're following him when we do as we please, when we please? Can you honestly say that you are bearing your cross when you can't even be faithful on Monday morning or Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning when it's not your desire? Once again, I'm not saying perfectly. But that's your goal when you get up. Christ. Isn't it about time that God's children examine their priorities so that Jesus Christ and his will is first? The price of discipleship is high. If you think you can pray a simple prayer and go to heaven while you still live your life as you please, you are deceiving yourself. You're taking a couple of verses in the Bible out of context, and you're trying to justify your actions. It just shows you how wicked that you really are. If you think that going to church and doing a few religious things are enough to secure you a home in heaven, you're deceiving yourself. Genuine salvation is about a radical commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would not be a true teacher if I didn't tell you that. I would be a deceiver. The key word here in the text is this: Lord. Lord. The key word is Lord. Is He your Lord? When I was just reading in Matthew, Lord, Lord. When you come to Him for salvation, you are giving up all of your rights, your supposed free will. You're surrendering to His kingship over yourself. I mean, what do you think the scripture means when it says, I'm a bondservant? Bondservants don't say to their master, hey, well, you know, I'll think about that. You know, I'll decide whether I want to do that. The bondservant says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. With the surrender to His kingship over ourselves. You need to make a radical, eternal commitment to live as He has called you to. How the scripture has described you. See, the problem is that you're struggling with your identity, what you truly are. You're not counting it as true. What the scripture says is true of you. As I said in Galatians 2, verse 20. This is a true statement. The Bible is using an indicative. There's indicatives and imperatives in the Bible. Indicative is this is what you are, and an imperative is now this is what you must do. So when you read in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, that's an indicative. That's telling you what has taken place in the path, in the past. Now by faith you count that to be true. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. See, this is why you deny yourself and follow Him and take up your cross, because Christ now lives in you. But see, that's what the problem probably is with your Christianity. You're still trying to live this thing out, as opposed to Christ living it out through you. It's much easier to live in the Christian life when Christ is the one that's doing the leading. You notice back in our text in Mark, it says, follow me. Well, He's right inside you, and He's talking to you. That's Him saying to you, hey, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. Pick up your Bible, pray, love that person, take up your cross, deny yourself. That's Christ speaking through the Word. He lives in you now. And a true disciple of Christ, there's no other option. There's no other option for you. You have to follow Him. Because it's true. You have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And that same Christ who lives in you says, follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross. And the Lord is more than worthy of your willing obedience to Him. For you have been bought with a price. Christ gave His life for you and shed His blood for you. He is worthy of your obedience. And may the Lord cause you moment by moment to walk in faith, to count the things to be true that is said of you in the scripture. And may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you.